Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us. I love on you for sharing us with your friends, your family, your associates. We've got a tremendous amount of people, well over 750,000 here, listen to us here in the United States, another 130, maybe 140 now overseas. All you expats there love to talk, listen to an American voice talk about finance. This is a great place to be. All sorts of things are happening. We have a special guest. Her name is Elizabeth Bafardi. She's a certified financial planner, certified public accountant, and we're going to be talking about Roth conversions today. Now, a little bit about Elizabeth. Like I said, she's a certified financial planner, certified public accountant. She began her career as a tax accountant as a public accounting firm in Chicago. Soon afterward, she joined a family office, which means they're handling a lot of money for one family. She served as a liaison between several investment managers, accountants, auditors, attorneys. Over time, she's developed a keen interest in investing, gaining perspective from many hedge funds managers. She's worked today. She follows the principles of functional asset allocation to help her clients reach their investment goals. She's a member of the Alliance of Comprehensive Planners, National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, Illinois Certified Public Accounting Society. She acts as a fiduciary and puts her clients' interests ahead of her own. We love people like that. So Elizabeth, again, just welcome to the show. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, so many people see all these webinars or seminars about doing a Roth conversion. They give, you know, they scare them and say, time's running out. The government's going to take all your money. And you know what? Half the people don't know exactly what a Roth conversion is, how it works or anything like that, or if it's any good for them. And that's what we're here to talk about today. So Elizabeth, first big question. Everybody has a reason they got into the profession. What's yours?
Mine is that I feel like I have somewhat of a unique ability to be able to distill down a lot of these complex subjects, hopefully into English. So when I worked for the family office, the people running the hedge funds, they ran hedge funds as a business. And the people running the hedge funds were math geniuses and could do long division in their heads and all that sort of stuff. And the other family members are what I call number phobic. Hated numbers, didn't want anything to do with them. But they wanted to be able to have civil family dinners. And so a big part of my job was be able to translate what the hedge fund people were doing into English so that the number phobic people could understand what was going on.
Wow. Actually, I understand that because there's a lot of people who are going to listen to this right here now. And 95% of people go, okay, I get that. That's pretty cool. And there's going to be a small portion like, what'd she say?
Yeah, exactly.
And you know why I say that? I have family members just like that. You know, you 1 + 2 = 3. You're like, okay, could you do that again for me? And that's cool. It's not making fun of it. It's just the way it is because some people are brilliant at certain things and some aren't at others. So let's start with just what's a Roth conversion?
So a Roth conversion is different than a Roth contribution. Two very different things. So a Roth contribution is when you put money into a Roth IRA or into your Roth 401k. A conversion is when you're taking it, I'm going to say taking it out, but basically you're converting it from your traditional 401k or your traditional IRA and converting it over to be Roth, to be a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k.
So what you're telling us is that, hey, look, all you're really doing is withdrawing the money out of the IRA and you're putting it into a Roth account. And what does the Roth account actually do for them?
So the Roth account, basically what it does is it allows whatever you've converted or generally even whatever you've put into that Roth account to grow tax-free. And that's different than what happens in a 401k or in your IRA. In your 401k and your IRA, it grows tax deferred. And the difference between the two is that when you pull the money out of your IRA or your 401k, you're going to have to pay tax on that money at some point because you've gotten a deduction for having put it into that account in the first place. With a Roth, whether it's an IRA or a Roth 401k, you're putting the money in what they call after tax. So you've already paid tax on that money. And now when it grows tax-free and you pull it out later, there isn't going to be any tax on that money.
Okay, so here's the big question. Once they move the money into the Roth IRA and they pass away, and the money that comes out of there is tax-free, but if you're inheriting it, is there some special things that you need to be doing in order to do that? You know, the IRS probably isn't going to let you keep it forever.
So whether you inherit, and I'm speaking more of like you as a kid as opposed to you as a spouse. If you as a kid inherit your parents' IRA, 401k, anything Roth, then you're going to have to pull all the money out in 10 years. And it doesn't matter if you pull it all out on day one or all out at the end of year 10, you got to pull it all out in 10 years. When you inherit a regular IRA or a regular 401k, you're probably going to have RMDs along the way, so required minimum distributions that you're going to have to pull out. And when you pull those out, you're going to have to pay tax. But your Roth IRA that you're inheriting or your Roth 401k will not have those RMDs. So in a perfect world, if you're a kid inheriting anything Roth, you'll leave that in there for the whole 10 years and let it grow as big as it possibly can because it's all tax-free growth.
Okay, so this is a viewer question. And the viewer question is, when Secure Act 2.0 came out and they gave us 10 years to do the withdrawal out of the Roth, wasn't there a required minimum distribution piece there that was forgiven? Or is that coming back?
Well, right now, there aren't any RMDs on the Roth. And because there aren't any RMDs on the Roth for like you as the owner, I believe there aren't any RMDs for the kids either. There was a time period where I think it was the IRS was trying to figure out the regulations on how to take RMDs out of the traditional IRAs and the 401k side of things when the kids inherited it. Mm-hmm. And they finally got to the point where they issued regulations. I think they're effective for 2025.
Basically, if you're inheriting a Roth IRA, it's basically becoming tax-free. You can withdraw things tax-free. You just have to have it withdrawn within 10 years.
Yes.
Now, we've talked about the basic stuff. What we're going to do is going to take a quick break, and we're going to start talking about not only the benefits, but the drawbacks. So with that, everybody stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I truly want to thank you for sharing us with your friends, your families, your associates. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to never miss a show and check out our affiliates at UK Health Radio, AMFM Radio 247, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, and E360 TV. Now, all these networks are dedicated to empowering you to uplift your life, your spirit, as well as live a life of personal and financial freedom. And again, you can always follow us at Saving with Steve Sexton on Facebook. There's some guest gifts. There's special episodes. You can see them again and again and again, especially this one if you're looking at a Roth conversion. And with that, we're right back here with Elizabeth Bafardi. She is a certified financial planner and a CPA. She's got a tremendous amount of experience and background. Elizabeth, let's just start talking about, is a Roth conversion right for everybody?
That's a great question. The answer that I always give is it depends. I feel like there's a lot less reasons why you would do one as opposed to the reasons why you would. So the reason why you wouldn't do one is if you're going to leave all your money to charity, or you don't have the cash to pay for the tax on the Roth conversions itself. Those are kind of the two reasons, or the two biggest reasons to not do a Roth conversion.
I totally understand. If you have no heirs, you want to give it to a charity, it's actually smarter to do it just the way you said, hey, give it to a charity and don't do a Roth conversion. But you also said, hey, if you don't have the cash to pay the taxes on the conversion, it's probably not a good idea. Could you go into a little more detail and help people understand that?
When you do a conversion, maybe before you've done the conversion, the money that you've put into that pot, whether it's an IRA or a 401k, you've already received a deduction for having put the money in. So the idea is that when you're converting it to Roth, you actually have to pay the tax on the amount that you're converting. So the easiest way to kind of calculate that out is to say, I'm in the 22% tax bracket. I have to pay, 22% of whatever it is that I'm converting. And keep in mind that it's not just on the money that you've put into the IRA or the 401k. It's also what that's grown to. So if you put 10,000 in and now it's 50 and you convert the whole 50, you're paying whatever your percentage is on that 50, not just on that 10 that you had originally put in. Especially if you're under 59 and a half, you don't want to pull out more money in order to pay the tax, because that extra money that you're pulling out to pay the tax is going to get hit with the 10% penalty. So you don't want that. So if you don't have the cash to pay the tax, then I would hold off on doing Roth conversions until you can.
So where does the 10% penalty come from?
The 10% penalty is on any IRA 401k account. So if you pull money out before you're 59 and a half, then there is a 10% penalty that's assessed on whatever it is that you pull out.
Okay. So if you're doing a Roth conversion and you're over 59 and a half, say you're 60 years old, you won't get that penalty.
No, you won't. But it's not as tax efficient to do it that way, because you're going to get taxed on the money that you pull out in order to pay the tax on the conversion. So you're basically paying tax on tax.
Oh, okay.
I see. That's why it's better to use cash to pay the tax.
Okay. So if you don't have the cash sitting on the side, it's probably not the best idea to do a conversion if that's your situation.
Right.
Here's the next question. Is there any way that you would look to invest those assets once they've got into the Roth?
So I subscribe to the idea of tax efficiency with your investments.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind that is that you want to have certain types of investments in the certain buckets. And the buckets being your IRA, 401k, your Roth, and then your taxable account. So and this is going to sound very counterintuitive at first. In your IRA and your 401k, you want to have the things that grow the slowest and the things that are taxed the highest, because all of that income is sheltered inside of the IRA or the 401k. So those two things are bonds and REITs. And in your Roth, you want to have the things that grow the fastest, because when you pull that money out, there is no tax. So in a perfect world, your Roth is really going to be your biggest account. Now, keep in mind, everybody's Roth is actually quite small in the grand scheme of things. But to the extent that we can make it grow as fast as we can and as big as we can, that's the gist. So those two things that usually grow the fastest are small cap value and emerging markets. And if I have a choice of of putting one or the other into my Roth, I usually try to put the emerging markets in, because if you have to hold small cap value in your taxable account, small cap value is more tax efficient than emerging markets usually are. And then in your taxable account, you want to have the things that you're going to get special dispensation for owning in a taxable account. So usually that's large cap value and international. Large cap value because those pay qualified dividends, which are taxed at 15%. And international because whatever tax you pay to a foreign country ends up as a direct credit on your tax return. And so that way we get a little bit of credit for having, you know, paid tax to some other country.
Relief.
Yes. Oh, yes. Relief. That's a better word.
Yeah. Well, you get a tax deduction for it, don't you? Or you?
Yes.
It's counted as a credit to your taxes if you're.
Yes.
So, for example, somebody had explained to me that how great the Roth conversion was, because they did a Roth conversion because they had pensions and things like that. And what they did is they had their total income was just above the 12% tax bracket. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they focused on doing the conversion for 6-7 years and were a little bit above that. But once they had completed the Roth conversion, they now just had stocks that had capital gains and dividends. And what they did is they gave off some of those, they gave off some of the dividends every single year to a charity to stay under that tax bracket. So none of their capital gains and dividends are taxed. So they basically have tax on Social Securities and standard deductions. So they pay like $50 a year in tax when they used to pay $5,000 or $6,000. Mm-hmm. So that's an example. I mean, what would be the benefit for them from a tax allocation that you've talked about down the road?
So there's a couple different things to think about. One is, what tax bracket are you in now? And what tax bracket do you think you'll be in the future? Which I know is very crystal ballish, but I'll come back to that in a second. The other is, like, if you're leaving this to your kids, what tax bracket are your kids in versus you? If your IRA and your 401k are growing faster than inflation, that might be a good reason to do a conversion. The other thing is that you might want to leave something to your kids, and a Roth would be the great thing to leave to your kids. And the other final reason that I can think of off the top of my head is, you don't need your RMDs. There are some people that are in the very fortunate position where they have pensions and Social Security, and that's more than enough money for them to live on. But they've amassed a bunch of money in an IRA or a 401k, and they're not going to need that money, or they don't, you know, the plan is right now that they won't need that. So if that's the case, the goal to me would be to convert that to Roth and leave it for your kids.
I think a lot of kids would love to receive things tax-free.
Exactly.
Hey, folks, you're going to need to stick with us. We'll be right back with some more Elizabeth Bufardi, and we're going to be talking some more about Roth conversions.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I have Elizabeth Bufardi here. She is a certified financial planner, certified public accountant. And you know what? Right now, we've been talking about Roth conversions, when to do them, when not to do them, why it makes sense. But now we want to give some examples. So Elizabeth, if you could share some examples of how it benefits people. And then, you know what, we'll get into the last question, which would be, hey, you know what, my concern is if I do a conversion now in my, you know, mid 60s, early 70s, what would that mean to me down the road when I'm in my mid 80s for the situation of maybe needing it for health and stuff like that? Would it make sense then? Okay. Kind of like, is there the age component to making sense to do a conversion? So.
Exactly. So there, so if you are a married couple right now, you're theoretically filing married filing joint on your tax return. And what that means is that the tax brackets, and I'm going to say the width of the tax brackets, are about double those of a single person. So, mm-hmm. for example, a single person might go up to $11,000 in the 10% tax bracket, and it would be $22,000 for a married couple. When one spouse passes, a lot of times your income doesn't necessarily get cut in half, because you may have, you know, survivor benefits with a pension, or your Social Security may be cut, but it's not necessarily going to be cut in half. Depending on, you know, how many IRAs and 401ks and everything else you have, then that doesn't necessarily mean that the RMDs get cut in half. You still have to take RMDs as if you are now as the surviving spouse are now the owner of your former spouse's IRAs and 401ks, plus whatever you have to take as well. So your income doesn't get cut in half. But the problem is that when you're now the surviving spouse, and say you even have 3/4 of the income that you had from before, you're going to be in at least a higher tax bracket, if not too higher than where you were when you were married filing joint. So to me, that's a huge reason in and of itself to do Roth conversions, even if you're in your 60s or your 70s, because those RMDs can push you into a different tax bracket. The other reason to do them is for your kids. You know, if you don't need those RMDs and you want to leave something to your kids, and now your kids are inheriting this money, that's a great thing for your kids. Your kids will love you later if they don't already love you now. And then the other reason that you had mentioned about, you know, what if I need this for long-term care? So there's one theory of thought that, oh, if I needed my IRA or my 401k for long-term care, I would just pull it out. I'd probably have huge medical expenses, and theoretically none of it will get taxed anyways. And that is one theory, but it also depends on how fast you're pulling it out versus what are these medical expenses. So if you have a little bit in all the buckets, meaning some in your IRA, some in some Roth, and then some in your taxable, you can kind of pick and choose where you're pulling the money from in order to attempt to keep your taxes low.
Okay. So in other words, if creating a tax allocation, just like an investment allocation, to keep your taxes low, just like you would keep your risk low by diversification.
Exactly.
Okay. I know we're talking about Roth conversions. Everybody asks, Steve, what are the alternatives to doing a Roth conversion? Is there other things that we could do that would create a tax-free environment for my heirs or even myself? Do you know of anything that might be there, Elizabeth?
The only other thing that I can think of off the top of my head is an HSA. So that's a health savings account. So if you're in a high deductible healthcare plan, then you can put in money to an HSA. And what I tell all my younger clients is that if you're going to do an HSA, in a perfect world, you'll put the money in, let it grow, and never touch it until you hit retirement. Now, granted, you know, the world's not perfect, so sometimes you do have to touch it. But in a perfect world, that's what you would do. Your heirs, because an HSA is just like any sort of retirement account, you have to put a beneficiary on it. And so I would use your spouse, if you're married, as your primary beneficiary, but then your kids as your secondary beneficiaries. And the kids inherit that, then that's another way for them to be able to use that money as medical expense money without having to pay tax on it. Because an HSA is sort of the triple threat of all retirement accounts. When you put the money in, you get a deduction for it. When it grows, it all grows tax sheltered and tax free. And when you pull the money out, assuming you use it all for medical expenses, when you pull it out, there is no tax on what you pull out. If you use it for other stuff, then there's a 10% penalty. But if you use it for medical expenses, there's no tax on it.
Okay, so I have to ask the big question here. I've got probably 40, 45, maybe 50 emails saying, hey, if I were to take out my required minimum distribution, can I put it into a Roth IRA after I pay the taxes?
You can't necessarily put it into a Roth unless you're still working. But what I've done for several clients is I've said, okay, I have to take out whatever the number is, $5,000, $10,000, whatever the number is. And what I've done for a lot of my clients is I've said, okay, well, if we do a Roth conversion, then we can use that $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever the RMD is in order to pay the tax on the conversion. So I'll do a tax projection for a lot of my clients to say, okay, if we do a conversion, you know, if we've got this RMD, where does that get us in the, as far as the tax brackets go? And then if we do a conversion, will that conversion throw us into a different tax bracket or not? Especially if it doesn't, and we're going to be able to stay in the same tax bracket that we would have normally been in, then I'll take whatever that RMD is, my proverbial 10,000, and use that as my tax money. Like, you have to take the money out of the account. And then some brokerage houses will let you do, you know, 99% withholding or and that kind of thing. And some will only allow you to do 10. But either way, that money is going to go to the Fed for your taxes. And then you do the conversion because there's an order to operations of how you do these things. You have to do a qualified charitable distribution first, an RMD second, and a Roth conversion third.
Now, let's breach the subject here of a backdoor Roth. I've heard so many different examples from even from different advisors about how it works. So can we just take the next minute and a half or so of this segment and talk about the backdoor Roth?
Right. So in order to make a contribution into a Roth IRA, your AGI has to be under, I think it's $230,000 for 2024. And $146,000 for 2024 as a single person. And so as long as your AGI, your adjusted gross income, is under that number, then you can put the money in, you can make the contribution to your Roth IRA. If your AGI is above that number, then you can do what's called a backdoor Roth, which means you put the money into a non-deductible IRA account. And then, you know, a week later, a month later, whatever it is, you do a Roth conversion on that amount. The trickiness or the hairiness of it is if you do any sort of Roth IRA, regular IRA, non-deductible IRA contribution can be made up until April 15th of the following tax year. So like basically we have from now until April 15th of 2025 in order to make contributions for 2024. But if we do a backdoor Roth, and particularly we put the money in for 24, you're doing the conversion in 25. Mm-hmm. So you wanna be cognizant of how that's going to affect your 2025 tax return.
Perfect. Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve and Elizabeth Bifardi.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We're back here with Elizabeth Bifardi. We're talking, talking about Roth conversions and got a lot of your questions answered. But now we've got Elizabeth. She's going to be talking about other things that you could do to reduce and eliminate taxation. And it's not always a tax thing that you can do. So I'm going to give Elizabeth the stage and let her go.
So one of the things that you can do that I find is sometimes the biggest bang for your buck is having your portfolio be tax efficient. We talked about that before, but to kind of give you an example, you know, a lot of people are sitting on a lot of cash right now because interest rates are finally high, or, you know, higher than 10 basis points. So everybody's all excited about having a ton of money in cash, which is great. But one, we always want to have an emergency fund and we want that to be in cash. You know, other cash that you're going to keep around, assuming you're not, it's not something that you're saving for, you might want to have that inside of your IRA or your 401k. But in your taxable account, so say you've got extra savings and you opened up a brokerage account and you started buying some stuff and then CD rates went really high, you might want to consider reallocating your portfolio such that you buy large cap value, either stocks, ETFs, mutual funds, preferably stocks or ETFs. And I'll explain the mutual fund thing in a second, but buy those things in your taxable account because those are the things that are going to pay you those 15% dividends. And what I mean by that is on your tax return, and I'm blanking on what line it is, but there's a line that says qualified dividends and ordinary dividends. And ordinary dividends end up in the big column that's on the right. And
that's lines 3A and 3B for all you who are listening.
Thank you. Thank you. I was blanking on what number it was. But the in a perfect world, those qualified dividends are going to be equal to the ordinary dividends, which means that all those numbers are only getting taxed at 15% if you're in the 22 or above tax bracket. If you're in the 10 or the 12% tax bracket, those qualified dividends get taxed at zero. So that's a big reason why you want to have that large cap value in your taxable account as opposed to some in one of the other accounts. The other thing, going back to the mutual funds, in a perfect world, you're going to have an ETF in there as opposed to a mutual fund. So an ETF is an exchange traded fund. And the reason why you want an ETF in there is because the mutual funds, ETFs only pay the dividends. A mutual fund pays the dividends and capital gains. And those capital gains are the things that, you know, kind of throw off your tax planning and your tax return because you never know what they're going to be from year to year to year. They're always different. The dividends, you can kind of see the progression and see how they're going to turn out. So in a perfect world, you won't have mutual funds in your taxable account. You'll have ETFs instead, or stocks, or whatever it is that you want to pick. Then the other thing that you can do is if you're charitably inclined and you have those RMDs that you're either not ready to convert to Roth or you don't have a lot of stock or appreciated stock in your taxable accounts and you're over 70 and a half, I believe, then you can use what's called a qualified charitable distribution. And basically you can give up to $100,000, and that's regardless of what your RMD actually is, but you can give up to $100,000 out of your IRA to a charity. There's a lot of kind of quirks with that as far as like the practical application of it. So one, you still need to get the thank you letter from the charity. And I would call the charity and say, listen, I'm sending you a contribution for X dollars, but it's coming from my IRA. Because a lot of times when you send those contributions, it just says, you know, from an IRA, and, you know, it may or may not have your actual name on it. And the charities have no idea where this is coming from. So I would call them and give them the heads up. So that way they can write you the thank you letter. So that way you have it for your tax purposes, because you're going to need to report that on your tax return. But if you have appreciated stock or appreciated ETFs or anything like that, then you can always give those to a charity as well.
Okay, so I have a question. We have four or five people, well, actually a lot more than four or five, but they want to know, how does harvesting work? And is it a viable tax strategy for reducing taxation or eliminating taxation?
It is. It's very helpful. So keep in mind, though, that when you harvest a loss, and this is really going to be in your taxable account. So when you harvest a loss in your taxable account, and say you have a $20,000 loss, mm-hmm. and what happens is if you have other capital gains, that $20,000 will net against those capital gains. But if say you don't have any other capital gains, then you're only going to be able to deduct $3,000 of that loss in a given year. But whatever you don't deduct will carry forward to the next year. And then if the next year you have capital gains, that whatever that remaining loss is will net against those capital gains. And if there's still a loss left, then you'll be able to deduct the $3,000 again. So pairing those losses with when you need to use up capital, or maybe not use up, but you know, create capital gains, trying to pair those against each other in order to keep your taxes low is very, very helpful.
Now, I have a question that's more for the business owner. It's a business loss on the tax return, but because it's this type of business and not my other business, I can't use this loss to offset that loss.
It depends on a lot of different things. But the general gist that I can give you, or general rule, is that when you're active in a business and then you have, say you're a passive investor in another business, and the passive business has losses, but the active business has, I'll say, gains or income or whatever term you want to use, you can't net those against each other. You have to net passive losses with passive gains and active losses with active gains. So that might be one reason why you can't necessarily use up that passive loss. But if you invest in something else that ends up with the gains, those losses will carry forward until you can use them up.
Okay. Otherwise, you've got a $3,000 a year type situation. Okay.
Right.
Perfect. So, Elizabeth, I would love for you to share your information with our listeners. So if they can utilize your help, they can get in contact with you. How would be the best way for people to get a hold of Elizabeth?
So you can go to my website. It's crescendofinancialplanners.com. And that's C-R-E-S-C-E-N-D-O, financialplanners.com. On there, you'll find my phone number, and then there's also a link to my calendar. So if you want to schedule a call, we can schedule a call.
That's perfect. That made it real easy.
Yeah, because my email address is even longer. So.
And it also prevents, 400 people from calling all this week, which would probably overwhelm you since you're just about to get started in the tax preparation part of it. Last few seconds here, what would be the best tip for somebody preparing for their taxes?
Look at last year's return and come up with a list of all the things that you had last year. So that way, you know what you're looking for when you get all your 1099s for this year. The other thing too, is I would think about it in terms of what has happened this year, meaning 2024, that you maybe forgot about or whatever. So maybe flip back through your calendar, look to see if something happened that it's like, oh, wow, I'm going to need to do something with that for my tax return. So that way, when you take all that information to your preparer, you've got it ready to go. And if nothing else, you can give them sort of the explanation of what happened, and they can figure out how you have to report it on the tax return.
So what you're saying, so for example, if you have some extreme medical expenses, mm-hmm. that would be good to make sure you're tax preparer knows. If you contributed a tremendous amount to charities, that would be important to make sure people know. So all those type of things, because you might be looking at the difference between a standard deduction or an itemized deduction, which could make a big difference in how much tax you pay.
Definitely. Definitely. And make sure you report, any IRA contributions, Roth contributions, Roth conversions, because some people did those, maybe in the beginning of the year or in the summer and, have totally forgotten about that. The conversions will be reported on your 1099. So you won't necessarily have to worry about that. But, and keep in mind, if you made estimated payments, you're going to want to report those to your tax preparer as well.
Mm-hmm. One last thing, I'm just going to share this because I heard this and then went to let Elizabeth go. many people give to a lot of charities throughout the year and they write checks. And with that, they get a deduction, okay? But with a qualified charitable deduction, you get an income elimination because if you're sending out, you have $30,000 in a required minimum distribution, you're sending 10 to charities, you're only getting a 1099 for $20,000. So you could effectively reduce your taxes even further by making sure it's a qualified charitable distribution. You do need to be over 7.5 to do that. And I just had somebody says, this is the greatest thing since I heard about it. So, Elizabeth, thank you so much for being on the show today. The information you provided will help, you know, hundreds of thousands of people better understand what's going on with their taxes, their Roth conversions, whether it makes sense to them. And again, thank you for being with us with Saving with Steve, folks. You're going to see this episode up on the website in a couple of weeks, and you're going to be able to listen to her live. So with that, thank you so much for being with us today, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much for having me.
Folks, that was Elizabeth Bafardi. That was just wonderful. And you know what? If you want to get a hold of her, her information will be on the savingwithsteve.us website. And you know what? If you'll stick with us, we're going to be right back with a little bit more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, everything under the sun with money. Hopefully make sure you have a more profitable spiritual life when it comes to money. Now, most of you probably heard of me talk about Warren Buffett a few times. He's the most prolific investor of all time. Most of his friends are billionaires that have been sitting on the sidelines waiting for something to happen. Well, see, they focus on things like market capitalization versus GDP, market capitalization versus U.S. debt, price earnings ratios per sector, price earnings versus the benchmark arena. And if you're, you know, minding the details, they're also looking at geopolitics, interest rates, soft money rates, Fed changes, policy changes. They look at things that like deregulation, especially in the energy and banking, and also the tariff situation that we might be dealing with here, certainly. And if you're listening now, you probably already know the deportations have already started. Now, we don't have time to cover all these areas of concern. We're only going to talk about a warning sign that ruined this party. If you think about the party that's going right now, the market, what is it? Last 2 years, up 20% per year. Oh, and nobody wants that party to stop. Okay. But there's some warning signs that wants to ruin your party. Now, I had a mentor call me earlier and he asked me if I saw this headline. And I'm like, what headline? He said, well, the one we never talk about. It's interesting what he's talking about. And he's talking about hedge funds. Hedge funds typically are looking for people that have $50 million on up range, like $100 million, a billion. That could be institutional money. That could be wealthy families that have their own investment advisor in office with them to manage, you know, that $100 million to $1 billion portfolio. And in fact, we have more Americans than anywhere in the world with $1 billion. Why do people seek out hedge funds? Well, hedge funds are built to outperform the benchmark indexes like the S&P, the NASDAQ. Oftentimes, hedge funds can be quite volatile. When you have that much money, people are not as concerned by volatility, because they could lose half and still be extremely, extremely wealthy. So I want you to hold on to that thought right there. As a supplement to what I just told you, remember the extremely wealthy can handle volatility because of their wealth. They could lose half and still be wealthier than all of us combined. The next question is, should they? Should they be doing that? Folks, the answer to that is subjective, and it's obviously up to them, isn't it? Why aren't they doing that? Well, what if I told you that most of the hedge funds, companies, and firms are lowering their target clients and are preying on people they call mini millionaires who have 1 million to 10 million? Huh? That tells me that the ultra wealthy have already done what you're not doing. They are de-risking. In fact, a lot of us have procrastinated so much now that you've lost that 3 to 5% and you see it bop up, bop down. The message I've been talking about is consistent since 2021. We've led our clients to the desert because, you know what? We've listened and trusted the power of Mr. Powell do exactly what he said he would do, and he did it. And it led to a major crash. He's doing the same thing here, folks. He tells us every time what he's going to do before he does it. And Mr. Powell speaks again on the 28th. And as a result, to the last lecture policy, how timely or untimely we are worth those policy changes. The 10-year, the benchmark of safe money, that's the 10-year treasury, is up to almost 4.6. Guys, gals, the higher that grade goes, the more pressure it puts on equities in the stock market. High treasuries, safe money, people look for it. What do they look for? A relative return. Why would you take risk to make decent cash? As a sidebar, look at what Mr. Buffett is doing. Carl Icahn, investors in the multi-billion dollar range. They have been sitting on cash more so than ever before. So think about this for yourself. Ask yourself the questions. Why are all these different types of institutions, people, major investors, what is it that they see that we don't? What is it that they are trusting that we won't? I encourage each and every one of you to think about that long and hard. What are you willing to sacrifice to stay fully invested in something that the long term could cause a lot of us a lot of stress, turmoil in the wrong phase of life? So as we enter into this distribution phase, as we enter this new phase of government with a new cycle of deregulation, the potential massive tariffs that could cause trillions of dollars, are you willing to go through another 2022 or worse? When you're no longer contributing or at least planning to retire in the next few years, is it worth it? Again, it's up to you to decide. As always, your comments and questions are welcome and encouraged. I thought this was so important. I wanted to get this out to you as soon as possible. In fact, if you'd like to read the articles, you can go to Motley Fool or you can go to Bloomberg. Bloomberg says hedge funds seek dumb cash. Again, hedge funds have lowered their target because the wealthy are seeking safety along the side of Warren Buffett. The 10-year treasury keeps rising, putting pressure on the markets that are selling off and staying at those lower levels. None of these things are indicative of a stable or a bull run. It's time to start thinking about how do I capture the gains that the market is currently catered towards me? What am I going to do with those gains the market is currently catered towards me? And last but not least, when are you going to turn those gains into real gains and not paper gains? Because you've all heard when things don't go right, what do the advisors say? Don't worry, if you sell it, if you sell it, it's a real gain, realized loss, as opposed right now, it's just a loss on paper, where the reverse is true as well. Folks, it's not really your money until you sell it. You're not as wealthy as you think you are until you own it. Own those gains. Again, folks, your comments and questions are welcome and encouraged. I want to thank you for joining us today here on Saving with Steve. And you know what? We'll look forward to seeing you and speaking with you very, very soon. Have a great week. Again, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show and check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio, New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Again, also you can follow us at Facebook, join the Saving with Steve Sexton Insider Club, at savingwithsteve.us. Get all the replays, exclusive access to after show videos, guest gifts, and take your life to the next level. With that, thanks again for sharing with your friends and family. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.